A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I've been thinking about you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Manchester United stay top and there was a big win for Big Sam. It's Monday, 18th of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Welcome, one and all. It's Montag, as the Germans would say, and I'm feeling fabulous, Jim Campbell. How about you, baby girl?
Yeah, I'm feeling whatever the German for fabulous is myself. So, yeah,
wunderbar, you could have said.
I could have said that, but I don't know much German.
Yeah.
That's fabulous.
Peter, you little Arschloch, how are you getting on?
I'm all right. It's Monday, the sun's sort of trying to break through the clouds in Hertfordshire, and I've got a dog on my lap, so everything's good.
Dog on the lap, eh?
Mm.
Very good indeed, gentlemen. Very good indeed. I tell you what a red Sunday it was. What a red Sunday. It was so red.
Hype delivered. Sorry, the hype packages were delivered and were then redundant.
Yes, they were indeed. Yes, they were indeed. My goodness.
Sizzle real Sunday.
Yeah. Do you know what this felt like a little bit? Do you remember the FA Cup final in, I think it was 1996, when Liverpool played Manchester United? And it was like, oh my goodness, it's the FA Cup final. This was when the FA Cup final, the build-up was like throughout the day. I don't know if they still do that anymore. I think lockdown has changed everything, in what I remember and so on. But it was a huge build-up. And obviously they won Manchester United by the solitary Eric Cantona goal, but it was such a disappointment. It is absolutely stinking final. However, what I would say though, Jim, is this Liverpool-Manchester United game that ended 0-0, I didn't find it as offensively bad as others seem to find it.
No.
Maybe because I didn't buy into the hype.
Yeah, it was better than the Manchester derby earlier in the season, wasn't it? And yeah, I kind of naively bought into a little bit of the hype, which I do every single time I sit down to watch any football match, even though a lot of football is like throw-ins and waiting for someone to take a free kick.
When you look at the time when the ball's in play, it's like, you know, sort of 55 minutes or something like that. It's like remarkably low.
Yeah, but it was, I mean... It was a fairly kind of interesting game in a sort of football nerd's perspective, wasn't it? I think United were a lot sturdier. Actually, they were sort of typically sturdy of how they've been in this run that's got them into the position they're in. So that was quite sort of interesting to see them enact that. And Liverpool, I think they've got to take immense credit for starting the game with Fabinho and Henderson in the centre of their defence, as they've done fairly often, but out of necessity, and still being fairly comfortable in terms of not really looking like they were going to realistically concede, and actually continuing to play their game in the kind of customary style that we come to expect from them. So, you know, I think you have to take that into account in the context of this game, and not just look at the occasion and, you know, what the hype kind of told us we were going to get. I mean, it's a funny one, because I think this season we're going to see a lot of changes at the top of the league. If Man City win their game in hand, which is against Villa, then they will go top. And I think this is going to happen for potentially months, where it'll just be every round of games will be a different person at the top. And I'm more hyped for that. So if this draw enables that, good. I'm glad. I don't even care that there weren't goals. Whatever.
Yeah,
no, you can't meet my girlfriend. She goes to another school,
and she's a model. Were you hyping all that up, Jim? Means that it's only going to inevitably disappoint those who listen and follow your every word. And true. I am one of those people, I should say. But Peter, a Liverpool not scoring for the third straight Premier League match in a row. I mean, it's nearly as rare as a Lionel Messi red card.
Yeah, I think the front three really let Klopp down in this match. And by front three, I mean Tyler, Carragher and Neville in commentary. But Shaqiri put in a corner at one point, and I thought, bloody hell, if nobody gets on the end of that, nobody wants to score from that, I don't think they've got that much chance. It was, I think the way that Liverpool have been misfiring, they just can't seem to get the ball in the net. I think as we kind of got to about like 60 minutes, 70 minutes, I think Man United were just, you could see a visible frustration on their faces. Like, this is our chance to win this match. Definite opportunity missed for Manchester United, because Liverpool just looked like they weren't able to just get the ball in the net. You know, they had a patch of central defence, and Solskjaer did that thing before the match where he sort of rolled his magic eight ball to decide his attack, where he's like, I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen. Oh, I'm going to put Martial on the left and Petey Pogman on the right.
Why's Lukaku still in that? He doesn't play anymore.
I just think he got his tactics wrong a little bit. And I thought Man United did have a chance of winning it. Rashford was offside so many times. He looked so isolated at the top. And I don't know whether anything could have been done about Bruno's passing, because he had a bit of a stinker. But they just couldn't deal with the press. Every pass seemed to be rushed, and so many mistakes were made. And they only looked more sensible when they got Cavani on the field. Enjoyable match, though. Really, really fun match, yeah. I thought.
I mean, Pogba had a chance late on, didn't he? Alisson made a good save from it, and you know, it was kind of fairly straight at him, but also he didn't have much time to place it and hit it about as hard as you can. Also, Rashford, going back to Fabinho and Henderson, when Rashford had a chance kind of marauding into the box late on, they shepherded him out really, really well. So it's just a bit of a chess match in the end, wasn't it? I think United were doing what they do and, trying to play on the counter. And
Jim, Rashford chance, though, I'd like to jump in there. I said the other week, when Rashford scored late on for Manchester United, he got lucky because he should have passed it to Cavani. And Cavani was a bit annoyed, but he got a deflection and it went in. Whereas this time, he should have slipped Cavani in, and he didn't. And so he should have learned. And I was bloody proved right, Peter.
A lot of Cavani's Manchester United career has been him being incredibly frustrated that he's not got the pass. Like, he spent so much time being a big angry horse. It's enjoyable. Yeah.
I just feel like, as the government should listen to Marcus Rashford, Marcus Rashford should listen to Marcus Speller.
Exactly. All agree. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said post-match, I think everyone was a bit disappointed with the way we started the game, but that is a good feeling to have, that we were disappointed in the performance. They want more disappointment. But I do understand what he means by that. Klopp said that they were happy with the way Liverpool felt the game. They had a good little feel. Klopp also said, though, after the match, it's not about if we don't become champions. It's not fun anymore. I don't know what he means by that. Oh, we've done that. It's boring. The most important thing is to qualify for the Champions League, and I know how difficult it is. This season will be a tough race for the top four. Now, Jimmy, he's right. Of course, it will be a tough race. And as you said, you know, the leadership could change hands and all that kind of stuff. But do you find those quotes a little bit odd for Klopp?
Yeah, but I think that there must be, you know, a bit of 4D chess going on. Some mind games going on there.
He
I don't know whose head he's trying to get into.
But he said he doesn't.
He says he doesn't. But that sounds like the sort of thing someone would say if they're trying to do him on the sly, you know?
He's a double agent.
Exactly. I mean, if you're in a league with Jose Mourinho, you don't really have a choice, do you? You have to, you play mind games whether you know it or not. You're tricked into it. So you might as well embrace it.
Yeah, that's
right. So I think he's trying to perhaps position them as underdogs, because before the game as well, he said that he's more comfortable chasing because that's the situation he's more familiar with throughout his career. So perhaps he's trying to instill that idea that they are going to have to like drag others back, because if you've, you know, if you, as we've heard so many times, it's harder to retain a league than it is to win one. So perhaps Klopp wants to put them back in that underdog mindset so that complacency doesn't set in.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. It's harder to win a league than to retain one, because if you've won a league, then you look at the teams that have won leagues.
Do you mean harder to retain a league than win one?
Yes. No. I mean, it's harder to win a league than retain one, because if you look at the teams who have won leagues, a lot of them have sort of retained it, or at least won it.
The stats are in Marcus's favour on this one, yeah, I reckon.
The Premier League teams who haven't won the Premier League, right? I think it's harder for them to win it than, say, Liverpool to retain the league.
You know what I mean, though.
I do take your point, Jim, you little fraud.
You took it for a little wander around the town, didn't you?
Took it for a night out with the boys.
Yeah.
Peter, your man Luke Shaw had a good game, didn't he?
He did. He's having an incredible season, I think. Where will he go after this? Big money move to Real Madrid? Maybe.
There's a tout. There's an old tout. I didn't think we'd hear that. It's lovely stuff. Go on, say something more outrageous.
I mean, I wouldn't say he's a Galactico, but, you know, he'd be worth
all the Galacticos gone.
He'd be worth a little 50 mil.
Auditioning for the part of his agent, I see. Thiago was rather decent in
he
the game,
great, wasn't he?
Nice
on
to
his see
home debut.
Yeah, nice to see a bit of him. Of course, you know, we know he's had his injury troubles and so on, and in that Liverpool midfield, there's a lot of competition for places and so on. But one can forget that Liverpool do have that type of player now, Jim, who was brought in to kind of unlock the door, although. Of course, he didn't in this game, but, you know, he should be pretty good as the season goes on.
I mean, he could also sort of pick the lock of that door, can't he? By which I mean he's really good at dribbling past players. And it's just a joy to watch, isn't he? He had that shot as well fairly late on, which De Gea dealt with not pretty well. But, I'm excited to see more of Thiago. It could be, you know, obviously Liverpool are missing a lot of players, but it might be going under the radar a little bit what an impact he can have in terms of potentially galvanising them. Because, you know, it is going to be an anomaly that they've stopped scoring goals for a bit. The players they've got in that team, I know they've got injuries and stuff and et cetera, and it's probably a risk of burnout, but they're going to start scoring again. Of course they are. I'm excited to see what Thiago can do to enable that.
Yeah. In Manchester United's midfield, obviously, mentioned Bruno Fernandes or Fernandes, who had a chance himself and so on, set up nicely by Luke Shaw. But old Fred has been ever present in Manchester United's midfield this season, and he said that he suffered a lot of criticism in his first season at Manchester United. One could forget that. He said everyone was calling him a flop, and he said, "I always kept motivating myself. I never dropped the shuttlecock."
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, to be fair to Fred, he's genuinely a lot better now that he's training for the right sport. I think that has made a huge difference to his game.
Is that a thing? Yeah, is that a saying? Drop the because shuttlecocks are by their very nature quite floaty. I mean, you know, it's easier to keep in the air than say a volleyball or a tennis ball
or a football.
Yeah. Or a football, even.
Yeah. It's obviously lost in translation, but it's very enjoyable nonetheless.
I thought he was really tenacious in the midfield. And Wan-Bissaka as well. I thought when on the few occasions that he lost the ball, he was just absolutely going off on the player who took it. It was brilliant.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Well, Manchester United are still top of the league, though, Jim Campbell. Their noisy neighbours, though, are gaining ground, and they have a game in hand on them, of course. But Manchester City, it shows you how good they are and how good their form is, because they beat a Roy Hodgson team 4-0.
Yes.
And Andros Townsend, they kept him quiet.
Yeah, I mean, well, Palace, they're hard to beat, aren't they? That's their whole thing. It's like their Cornish pasty. That's what they do.
Liverpool beat them 7-0.
Yeah, well, Liverpool are really good as well. Yeah. So, shut up. You tricked me there.
I did.
You reeled me in. Did you hear that, everyone? That's entrapment, that is.
Well, John Stones is reeling us in because now we think of him as a great goal scorer, perhaps. I know Luke Moore does. Will Pep be starting him as a false nine soon, Peter?
I thought he'd already scored, to be honest. I was really surprised that this is one of his first goals for Man City. Incredible. For some reason, because he's such a ball-playing centre-back, I just presumed he fancied putting the ball in the net, because Man City just scores so many goals. I just thought, the idea of John Stone scoring, he got lost in the mix a little bit. But incredible.
It's nice seeing that.
Pep's 50th birthday as well.
Was it really?
Today, I think.
Oh, how about that? Birthday, well, Pep. With John Stones, before we go on to Pep, Pep himself said about the young centre half, if there is one guy who deserves the best, it is John. He struggled a lot, but he's a fantastic human being. His parents must be so proud. And when I read that, I thought to myself, my goodness, he has never sounded more like Donald Trump ever. Because that is a type of thing that if there is one guy who deserves the best, it's John. He's struggled a lot. He's a fantastic human being. His parents must be so proud, so proud. He does sound, I think he's sort of channeling.
Sounds like Fred Flintstone.
A little bit. Oh, dear. But yes, so he's turned 50 today. Yeah, that's right, because the reporter asked him what he'd be doing for his 50th birthday, and he said, I'll be spending it at home. Alone.
Oh,
that's sad.
That's sad, isn't it?
Sad. I'm sure he'll find something to do. He'll probably watch 9 football matches at once and be very, very content.
Yeah, well, I think that if there was no lockdown, I would fancy Bayern CEO Karl-Heinz Rummenigge to give him a little visit. Did you see this big Karl talking about Pep? I thought, my goodness, they're falling in love. He revealed a different side to Guardiola than one we've seen before. He said he remembers the fateful evening he and Pep went for din-dins when the Spaniard told him he was leaving Bayern, and he said, Pep played with open cards from the start. It was an emotional evening. He cried. I also shed tears. Apparently there was much wine drunk, and Rummenigge said to Guardiola, Pep, today you had better leave your car behind and get yourself taken home. Beautiful, Peter, isn't it?
Mm. Look, if other footballers took that advice,
we might be better off. Yeah. He also said of Pep, he's a totally reliable, a great person with whom you can have fun. We wrote to each other on Christmas and New Year's Eve. We text regularly, although he's not a fan of WhatsApp. Backing up Santi Cannizzaro's claim we were talking about the other day that Pep Guardiola doesn't have WhatsApp. My goodness, I didn't think we would get Karl-Heinz Rummenigge as the man to confirm that.
Well, look, I mean, it's just a waste of time for Pep, where he could be spending time just looking at formations and watching old videos. But obviously WhatsApp have lost a fair few users recently. Maybe Pep was just all across end-to-end encryption and internet security and Facebook's benevolent, or rather malevolent behaviour.
Yeah, well, he's very forward-thinking. Very progressive, so you could say that. Little mention, Jim, for De Bruyne's assist for John Stones' first goal. It's always nice to see.
Little mention. Why are we talking about anything else?
Far away, sir.
Oh, it was a magnificent thing to watch, wasn't it? It was absolutely beautiful. Even the sound of it as he sort of clipped it in was just magnificent to do that with that power from the outside of your boot. And that's his 100th assist for City. I think since De Bruyne had joined City, Christian Eriksen is the closest to that with 68, which is amazing. That's in all competitions, but still. And also, the thing with City is they are racking up the clean sheets now. And I think consistency is what's going to win the title this season. And they are kind of purring into that sort of form that makes you think they might be the most likely candidate, if you ask me.
They're looking imperious, aren't they? And just sort of brushing Palace aside, 4-0, easy peasy. But the way they're playing, Pete, is the way they played, you know, when they were dominant that season, when they won everything domestically, which Guardiola said we're playing like that as well. They just turn up and it's kind of like, yeah, we know what we're doing. And the way De Bruyne plays, it is like he sort of thinks, is this the best? Is this all football has for me on this planet? Okay, fine. I suppose I have to play with this lot. They're looking phenomenal.
I think De Bruyne has clearly seen the drop-off in the amount of people who've jettisoned him from their fantasy league teams, and he's probably just trying to play his way back into that situation. but you're right, it is going to be about consistency at the end of the season. So many teams are in the frame, but it is going to take a team who've got an incredible squad and a lot of quality off the bench who all know how to play a certain way to bag the prize.
Mm. And I think as well, when De Bruyne is in this form, like with respect to Palace, he becomes unplayable against teams like that, against the teams where if you're going to win the league, you need to be beating them probably twice. And he just makes that so much easier, doesn't he?
Yeah, certainly. Certainly. Right, Jim, you've only gone and recorded a brand new book club over at Football Ramble Presents. Tell us about it, you bitch.
I only have, and I will. Myself and Kate spoke to the comedian and author of Klopp, actually, Laura Lex. So near the start of the pandemic, Jurgen Klopp had been asked his thoughts on how the government should act in the wake of coronavirus. And his response was to essentially question why anybody would ask a football manager or a celebrity that question instead of an expert. So on the 13th of March, Laura tweeted the following. If I ever met Jurgen Klopp, I'd say, OMG, if we ever have a baby, we should call it Clip, just so he'd raise an eyebrow at me and tell me I'm a moron, and I'd be so naked by the time he'd finished doing that. And then what followed was a thread of kind of similar imagined scenarios as Laura's imaginary life with Jurgen Klopp, and it became this huge sensation on Twitter to the point where it's now exists in book form. She wrote a whole book, a kind of diary, a kind of, you know, imaginary look at her potential life with her version of Jurgen Klopp. And I can tell you it's very, very funny. Myself and Kate spoke to her about it the other day, about how this sort of thing happens and what it's like when Piers Morgan gets involved saying, oh, what if a man said this? And all kinds of different things. And it's a really funny book. It was a really funny interview. So it's available now over on Football Ramble Presents. So check it out.
Love that.
Speaking
big
of Jurgen Klopp, Marcus, there was obviously at the weekend an episode of The Masked Singer. Where did they get that name from? I believe there was a man in a Klopp uniform, in a Klopp costume.
Yes.
And that person was Glenn Hoddle, I believe.
Lovely to see Glenn Hoddle taken to the stage singing again.
It's also quite nice to see one of football's old guard dressed as a grandfather Klopp. It's quite poetic in a way, isn't it? Very apt.
Just a shame he's gone solo. You know, the sort of the George Michael of the Hoddle and Waddle duo.
Yeah.
He was the George Michael. I think Chris Waddle is the Andrew Ridgeley in that.
I think he was always going to go solo.
It could have been a little bit like in Beauty and the Beast, and Waddle could have been like a little teacup or something. I enjoyed it. Or a candlestick.
Yeah, I think he'd be looking around at all the other singers thinking, oh, they just can't do what I can do. No.
Lovely old job. Right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/ramble.
week at Sukarnov.
Me and Luke have been whiling away the lockdown with our usual nonsense on the Luke and Pete Show. Here's a quick taste of the kind of challenges we've been setting for ourselves.
Give us any nation and I'll tell you why they're dirty.
All right, I'll do it now.
Italy. Yeah. It looks like a sexy boot.
There's also a brand new episode of On the Continent, your weekly guide to the sublime and frequently ridiculous in European football. Find it over on Football Ramble Presents every Thursday.
Neymar's responded to this in kind that they forgot to tell you how to win titles. Then Alvaro has responded with a picture of Pelé with three World Cups going in the eternal shadow of the king.
This reminds me of Stormzy and Wiley. The spice that they have.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my tube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Now, let's have a Betway 4 to Score update. Let's see what we've got on the Betway 4 to Score this weekend. Entry to Betway 4 to Score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the £50,000 weekly jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Game 1, Leicester versus Southampton. I picked Jamie Vardy. Of course, I was wrong. It was James Maddison. Game 2, Sheffield United versus Spurs. Jim picked Son Heung-min. The result, of course, was Serge Aurier. Game 3, Liverpool versus Manchester United. Andy picked Edison Cavani. He should have been the first goal scorer if Marcus Rashford had put him in. But, of course, the result was no goal scorer. So, we think we pick Vardy, we pick Son, we pick Cavani. You think, I've got a good chance there. Game 4, Manchester City versus Crystal Palace. Luke picked John Stones, much to the surprise of everybody. The result was John Stones. Luke played his part. The three of us let Luke down. We'll be back with another round of Betway's 4 to Score on the preview show this Friday. Now, it's time for emails.
Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Mr. Kane, Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all our kids can read it out. Well done.
And it is indeed time for emails. Simon Carter has been in touch and he says simply, following on from your listener whose family had Bovril on toast, not only did my admittedly odd family do this, but my snack of choice is a Bovril and salad cream sandwich. I'm neither pregnant nor mental. Delicious. That's the whole email.
Love that.
Disgusting.
If anyone eats anything more disgusting than that or comparable, Jim, get in touch. Let us know. What are your weirdest snacks?
What are you doing, Jim?
I did over the weekend something I do quite often is leftover pizza from the day before, cover it in egg and then fry it like French toast, stick a load of maple syrup on it. Delicious.
My favourite bit there is cover it in egg.
Cover it in egg.
I get that. I think that's not a bad idea, but the maple syrup, yeah. I'm not sure. I'd be willing to try it though, Peter.
Have a crack, mate. Have a crack. Bit sweet and savoury. From Callum in Hong Kong, got an email from Callum. I heard Kate discussing Citigroup's Chinese club last week and what a name Sichuan Robot Panda is. However, I'd like to credit the current name a little as Zhu Niu, or pronounced rather like Zhou Neo, means nine cows. Nine cows is already one of the better names in Chinese football. It makes a refreshing name from property developers and electronics companies crowbarring their names into the club names. British equivalents for Jiangsu Suning and Guangzhou RNF would be Birmingham Curries or Manchester Red Raw. It's difficult, isn't it? I've got a lot of love for J League, for example, and Shimizu S-Pulse released their... every year, football teams in Japan seem to come up with like a name or a kind of like a motto or a slogan for the year. And, you know, they may fall short, they may succeed, but either way, this is the thing that they kind of go with every single week. It's on all of their social medias. So Shimizu S-Pulse for 2021, their slogan or their word of the season is Penetrate. And it's always in English. It always sounds batshit. Penetrate. also, I don't know who. I think it's. I think it's. Is it Jeff? I think it might be Jeff United. Born in Chiba City. That's what they've gone for. Not a clue what that means. Daegu's 2020 catchphrase was size doesn't matter. No, I love J League slogans. They're really, really a lot of fun.
Size doesn't matter if you're having a bone in Thingy City, but make sure you penetrate just to put them all together.
It's where the airport is. Probably, you know, not a bad idea. Not a bad idea.
Lovely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you like that kind of nonsense and you can contribute to it, show@footballramble.com is the email address. Right, we move on to the first black country derby in 9 years. Sam Allardyce had the final say. Jim Campbell, his West Brom side, had an incredible 3-2 victory at Wolverhampton Wanderers, a much-needed win to get the smile back on Big Sam's face.
Yeah, and I can imagine this is probably very satisfying for West Brom fans because, I mean, I don't know any Wolves fans, but I can imagine the banter train has really gone in one direction over this time. So to actually get a win now that they're finally facing them again must have been pretty good. And nice to see a goal from Fabio Silva, though.
Yes.
You know, he's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders. He's not just because of the price tag, but because he's been thrust in to kind of, you know, just be the main man. And the composure on that was a real glimpse of why they paid so much money for him.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. And but it wasn't enough, of course. It wasn't enough. I mean, West Brom, you know, they stuck to their task very, very well. And with old Pereira sticking away the penalties, you know, that's the kind of composure that you need down there. You know, people, I know, I understand it's a penalty, but still, you've got to stick it away. But I did. Sam Allardyce could be seen saying, I think it was West Brom's third. He said, you know, about effing time when the ball went in or something like that, which is quite enjoyable. But I think that West Brom, obviously they were beaten quite badly the other week and Allardyce looked quite despondent. But he had a result like that. They're beginning to kind of find their feet under Allardyce. And Sam started saying that he's finding leaders in his team. And he said of Carl Bartley, he's a nice big centre-half like I was. That's the stuff, Peter. That's the stuff. Come on.
It is. I mean, he's making very basic decisions and they're sort of coming good for him. I mean, he's moved Pereira away from the wing and I don't know, maybe the previous manager got confused about the other Pereira at Leicester, but he just looks better there. First header from a corner for like 9 years, apparently, as well, which is not too bad.
The long throw.
The long throw. So I know Sam Allardyce's teams will be judged when you see stuff like that. But look, they beat an out-of-form Wolves side, admittedly. Yeah. But it was a fun match. It was a fun match. I mean, Cotrona could have squared it at the death. But yeah, I do
but
kind
do
of feel
basics.
Sorry for...
Just
doing the basics. Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah. Obviously it'll only take you so far. But when you're bottom of the league, you want to be taken that far, Jim, if you see what I mean.
Mm, absolutely. And I thought, actually, Sam Allardyce's words after the game were very interesting because he acknowledged the fact that they had two penalties within the game. And obviously, if every centre-back they play against gives away a penalty, they'll probably be fine, but that's not going to be the case. And he said that he was basically disappointed that they didn't finish the chances that they made in open play. And this is what you get from him, isn't it? There's no like resting on laurels there. There's no kind of talking up the performance as if it was a dominant win when there was there was circumstances behind the scoreline. And that's great because, you know, clearly he's going to just use it to build on properly and actually get them in a situation where they're not going to forget that they just because they won the game doesn't mean they you know, get a let off from not burying their chances. I think as well, Snodgrass is a canny signing. It's very sort of very kind of Allardyce-y. I think, you know, this is, if they are going to get out of it, this is the start of that.
Great win for them.
I felt sorry for like for Wolves a little bit. They changed their system to get more goals out of them, and they're just leaking front and centre, aren't they? It's going to be a difficult end of the season for them. Is he going to go back to the 3-4-3 that, you know, saw them so well last season? It'd probably be a decent foundation. Again, it's just, let's just start with the basics, like Sam Allardyce. Let's just play the players in the right formation and in the right place and build from there. But Nuno. Bless him.
Oh, Nuno. But what about Wilder? Surely you've got to feel more for him than Nuno. I mean, Sheffield United, they lost again and they really are struggling. I mean, obviously they won quite recently, but this performance, I mean, my goodness. Roy Keane and Graham Souness will stick the boot in, of course. But, I mean, words like pathetic were being used, you know, in this performance. And it was. I mean, it was so bad against Spurs. I mean, I understand they only lost 3-1. But, I mean, that sentence in itself, Jim, is ridiculous, that they only lost 3-1, you know. But it was piss poor from the Blades.
Yeah, they look like a team who know they're out of their depth, don't they?
Yeah.
Who just know that they can't match those players man for man.
And that's the thing, because they stayed up. It's incorrect to say they stayed up last season. They finished very, very well indeed. So it's not like they've just been promoted. If that's the case, you can sort of see maybe. But this is sort of symptomatic of a team who are not picking up points, and everyone is beginning to think, I just hope this season finishes very, very quickly. And that attitude, if that is seeping in, and you can understand why, again, they're human beings, blah, 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 blah. But Wilder has a hell of a job on his hands now, because he's got to stop that, because that is the rot that sets in, which does write off the season, when actually the season shouldn't be write off. They could get out of it, but it's just, dearie me.
Yeah, they look like a team that have sort of, that don't have the required fight in them. Do you know what I mean? Like they had a really, really bad start. And obviously so much of their season last year was based on just, you know, being really tight, nicking games. And it is a style that takes it out of you. And it just looks like they're not up for it. And like, if you're in Chris Wilder's position, like, what do you even do in this situation? What do you even say in training? I don't know how you turn that around. I mean, I doubt that they'll end up with that lowest points tally, because I think two wins would take them above it, which really shows you quite how bad Derby were in that season. But the fact we're even talking about it shows how bad it is. And the players have to take responsibility for that at some point.
But you say two wins will take it above them. I understand that mathematically.
I mean, it's irrelevant to them if they go down, isn't it?
Sure. I mean, but I mean, I was saying this about Fulham, wasn't I, at the start, when Fulham looked really, really bad. But Fulham, you know, Parker kind of got it sorted. Got it sorted. They're still only with 12 points, but you can see the improvement. Well, Sheffield United, when you say, well, another two wins, will they even get those two wins? I mean, they take on Manchester United, Man City and Chelsea in their next three. Yeah. Within their next four fixtures, they have those three sides. You know, they get battered again. It's not exactly going to inspire them and instill more confidence in them, isn't it? It's really worrying for them.
Mm.
But what about Spurs, though? Let's turn our attention to Tottenham Hotspur. Good win for them. And that Ndombele goal, Peter, made the weekend worthwhile.
It was. I mean, I think Norwood losing it in the first instance. He never really had it, but then he also just looked a bit...
Well, he got hammered by Keenan soon.
He did, but it was like a Rube Goldberg machine. Like, he was a bit sloppy, and then he sort of set in motion a move that ended in Ndombele, a man with one lung, finishing incredibly well. I would like to ask one question to the Spurs fans who may or may not be listening to the Ramble today. Or they might be, actually, because they won a match, but... You may think that you're fair-minded. You may think that you play with a straight back. You may laugh at the idea of being like a myopic, frothing tribal football fan. But when I ask this question, you may want to think, did my bum just tighten even a centimetre just now? Here's the question. Did that football player mean it? Was it a cross?
Oh, Peter, what are you doing?
Oh, God, Pete.
What are you doing?
Did your bum tighten a little bit? Yourself? Are you just a little bit angry? Then you're just as silly as the rest of us.
He clearly meant it, didn't he?
Of course he meant it.
If
he didn't mean it, what the hell is he doing?
Look,
I've
really enjoyed the renaissance of Ndombele. Honestly, it's just a really sort of good example of like not having the right players around you can make an incredible talent look a little bit lost. Højbjerg puts the shits up his teammates, and Ndombele's just become a completely different player.
Yeah, Højbjerg's been a great signing, and I think you can't underestimate that the platform he gives others. You know, as soon as he went there, you thought to yourself, Højbjerg going into a Mourinho side, yes, that makes all the sense in the world. But Mourinho has to take a bit of credit with Ndombele, because, I mean, it wasn't that long ago he was holding one-to-one training sessions with him in lockdown. Now, he did say Ndombele, his performance against Burnley, a little while ago, was like having no midfield. And there was a danger that this player who had arrived, who everyone thought, oh, hang on, he's good. You know, the reports, I think Andy Brass was saying, you know, this Tanguy Ndombele, he's a brilliant player. He's got great potential as well. They've got themselves a real player on their hands. and you thought, is he going to be one of those players under Mourinho who kind of is the collateral damage, falls by the wayside, and actually we never really get to see what he's worth. Whereas Mourinho, I think himself, must have realised, hang on, even I can't just bomb this guy out. You know, this guy's very, very good. So he puts the effort in to do the one-on-one sessions to give him a chance. And he said of Ndombele yesterday, he's a great example that with me, the door is always open. When a player is not playing, he has to understand to walk through that door. He understood. Mm. And Jim...
Hear that, Deli.
Even as Mourinho is giving the credit to Ndombele, and the other quotes are very much, the words are very much saying Ndombele takes the credit, you do feel at the same time that Mourinho is also saying, yeah, I did this.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I think there's some subtle digs as well. So I'm interested in when a player is not playing, he has to understand how to walk through that door, which gives the impression that, like, Luke Shaw kept walking into the door frame or something, or just couldn't figure out the handle.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Do you see Harry Kane in the post-match who said that the manager never tells him to sit back, it's the players? Yeah. Has Mourinho got him at gunpoint behind the camera? Say the line, Harry, say it, read what's on the paper. What a goal it was from Ndombele, absolutely brilliant.
It was wonderful,
stuff. Gentlemen, everyone has forgotten about little Leicester in this title race. They're talking about Manchester City, all can Manchester United. Well, Leicester beat Southampton 2-0. And they're right up there, Jim. Are they on the verge?
I was going to ask you about that. Are they back at the verge? Because they were at the verge for a long time last season and they fell away from the verge. They sort of just peered over it into, you know, a glory they've already experienced.
Yes.
Do you think, Marcus, as a big fan of Brendy Rodgers, as we all are, do you think that falling away last season and having their little meeting in a hotel about it or whatever it was that they did to come to terms with it, do you think they'll learn from that? Or do you think that they are perhaps at the ceiling of what they can achieve compared to your Liverpools and your Cities and that they'll fall away again?
Well, clearly they don't have the squad of, say, Manchester City or Liverpool or even Manchester United, you would say, but they're there. They've been fairly consistent. And when I say fairly consistent, you know, they're 2 points off the top. Okay, Manchester City, place above them, have a game in hand. But they're in amongst it, aren't they? And as you said, there's that sort of top, you would say top five. I wouldn't put Everton in the, well, who knows, they might be up there soon. But I would say Spurs, Liverpool, Leicester, Manchester City, Manchester United are the ones who all have title ambitions to varying degrees. So Manchester City's title ambition will be greater than Leicester's because of the squad they have and the experience that they have, even though Leicester did win the league fairly recently, but largely the players that won that title have gone. But they're in the conversation. And of all those five teams you've just said, whoever misses out on top four will be disappointed. And Leicester have that experience of being one of the five and missing out on top four and being disappointed, hence that meeting in the hotel that we spoken about. So, but Rodgers looks at that table and thinks, well, hang on, teams are taking points off each other. It's a bit of a mad season. Well, there's a chance. There is absolutely a chance. They won't be. You know, they would probably be fourth or fifth favourites in those five teams in the top five at the moment. But that'll do them nicely. That'll do them nicely. Yeah. But Kasper Schmeichel's 400th appearance for Leicester City, Peter. Hell of a milestone for him. But the an unwanted, well, it's not really a milestone. This is a bit harsh. Vardy hasn't scored in four.
He did a lovely sort of step over early on. And you sort of thought that the way that they defended for the second Leicester goal, Southampton, you sort of thought, oh, Vardy probably should have put one away at the very least. But at least it's going to be interesting to see how Ralph deals with the next month, though, because Bertrand's going to be out after his yellow, and they really don't have much of a squad at the moment. I think 2-0 was sort of went easy on Southampton a little bit because I don't think Ralph would have wanted to lean on Southampton's legendary youth setup quite as hard. It's been a rough few weeks. They just don't seem to have the reinforcements coming off the bench at all. They're down to bare small bones.
Yeah. Well, wasn't their worst performance against Leicester City over the years, no. Was it, Peter?
There we go.
There it is.
Can I just say two things?
Luke made me say that.
I think it's actually really good of... James Maddison leading the way with a sort of socially distanced celebrations. So, yes. I know they did it slightly tongue-in-cheek, but with a
slightly
sense
tongue-in-cheek.
Like, right. Yeah, but they still did it, right, which is important, and it's good that players are actually doing that. And secondly, Pete, do you still have a dog on you?
It just left, actually. It just left.
Right, okay.
You could probably hear the stomach rumbling. Throughout, and it's not me, it's the dog.
Sure.
But we do have very similar diets.
Peter, what do you think of Mikel Antonio's celebration?
To be honest, I must have missed that one. What happened in that celebration?
He was swimming.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes.
Sorry. Yeah.
No. Yeah, enjoyable. Look.
He tweeted, we only swim when we're winning or something.
Very good.
I think that's
very
worth
good.
It. I think that's worth
is
it.
Is it good or is it incredibly laboured?
Hard work, isn't it?
I don't know whether he, I liked it. I've got to say, I'd sign me up for that kind of caper.
Can we talk about Alex McCarthy's performance in net? I thought he was socially distancing himself from all of the goals as well. Yeah. All of the balls as they hit the back of the net. I just, oh dear.
Hang on.
Stinking performance.
What, so when Harvey Barnes ran through on goal, are you saying he should have saved it?
Yeah, I think he should have. Yeah, I think, to be honest, out of the two, I think that he should have saved that one. So there you go.
Well, not everybody's Big Darlow, mate. Come on. give him a bit of credit. Gentlemen, one of Southampton's favourite sons is Theo Walcott. I'm sure we can all agree on that. He opened up about his early days at Southampton and how he got off on the wrong foot with Dennis Wise. I don't think there's any other foot to get off on with Dennis Wise, to be perfectly honest with you. A man who Alex Ferguson once said could start a fight in an empty room. But Theo Walcott said he put a ball through a window at Southampton's training ground and Wise came out screaming, "Who the f*** did that?" The glass had gone into his leg.
Oh dear.
Walcott said, "I owned up to it straight away. All of a sudden, he just said, 'No worries, Theo.' He had glass in his leg, but he took it like a man."
Are you sure it wasn't Mark Dennis? It doesn't sound like Dennis Wise.
No. Also, it doesn't sound like Theo Walcott putting a ball through a window from distance. Accuracy on that.
I think it does sound like Theo Walcott because he was clearly aiming for a goal.
He also in that interview was talking about how Dennis Wise asked Theo Walcott if he would make some cups of tea for the guys on the coach, and he said that this is the weirdest thing. He said, "I didn't even know how to make teas." What? Who doesn't know how to make teas even at like 18? That's insane. Yeah.
That is a bit, I get like if it's kind of like you've got to grind the coffee up or something, but teas. Stick the bag in there. Yeah, strange one. Right, gentlemen, let's move on very quickly to the Championship. Wayne Rooney officially retired from football on Friday to become permanent boss at Derby County. Obviously, this has been, in the pipeline for a while. He's obviously taken charge there and so on, so it wasn't a huge surprise, but it's official now. It is official, and he kicked off with a 1-0 defeat to Rotherham, leaving them 23rd. He's got a lot of work to do, Jim.
He does, and he seems to have, like, just accepted his fate, doesn't he? So, God, I'm just a manager now. All right. None of this player manager nonsense. No Rooney of the Rovers sort of stuff here for some reason.
They need it.
They do need it. They need someone, don't they? But it's a pretty dire situation. I don't really know how I feel about it. I just feel like it was only yesterday that he was scoring that really memorable goal against Arsenal. And his whole career has been as I'm an adult. Like it's taken place in my adulthood, and I don't feel good about that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think Rooney sort of obviously he can't really affect things on the pitch as a player anymore. That is going to frustrate. I think there's a distinct lack of urgency at the weekend, and Rotherham quite rightly played the ref as best they could. But the pitch, I mean, look, you've got terrible home form to start with. At least get your pitch right, for crying out loud. I don't know how you coach a football team when the conditions are that stodgy. And you look at their bench, and I've been talking about benches all day here, but yeah, it's just kids on the bench and a very thin squad for the amount of money that was presumably at some point available. Hopefully the takeover will happen and they'll have a bit more. But yeah, I think he'll need funds and he'll need reinforcements and possibly a relayed pitch.
Yes, exactly. Talking of former sexy strikers going into management, did you see that Fernando Torres has taken a coaching role with Atletico's B team? Which is quite nice. Apparently his training drills were quite impressive, which we could all understand because it's Fernando at the end of the day. But yeah, that's lovely. We'd love to see him getting involved in football. And Diego Simeone's youngest son scored in Torres' first game with the team. I'd imagine he basically said to Simeone, saying, yeah, you're definitely starting. Where do you want to play it up front? That's absolutely fine. Everybody give the ball to young Simeone there. Mm. Otherwise, his dad may beat me up. But it's good to see, gentlemen. Before we go, tonight, Arsenal versus Newcastle. We know that this will be a high-scoring game, Peter.
I mean, Newcastle have two modes at the moment. It's kind of like 11 men behind the ball and they'll lose 1-0, or go for something and they'll just lose by more goals. So I think, I don't know whether Steve Bruce is playing the press as like his adorable Uncle Bacon at the moment, or he's genuinely having an emotional episode. He doesn't look like he's having like the best time. He sort of said that. What did he say last week? He said we were frigging hopeless last night, absolute shite. The sort of thing you don't normally hear in a presser. He's joking here, but I think he might be having some genuine difficulties emotionally as head of Newcastle United. And he said on more than one occasion, he said, "I'm not a quitter." He is. He's quit from like 8 or 9 jobs. If I was going to put money on a manager leaving a post, it would probably be Steve Bruce from Newcastle, unless he's getting paid more money than he's ever had in his career.
But Peter, he said, though, the gloves are off now and we will do it my way. Whose way has it been thus far?
Mike Ashley been directing the team. I doubt it.
God knows. The
mind boggles, Jim. The mind boggles. Arsenal will definitely be without Mesut Ozil for the tonight's
former
game.
Arsenal player Mesut Ozil. Former Arsenal player Mesut Ozil. Oh! Yeah. Oh, that feels good.
He's not even left in Lacazette and Aubameyang are fighting over his number 10 shirt. He's not even left yet. It's not even confirmed.
Give it to Smith Rowe. Give it to the other Neil.
Yeah, exactly.
Give it to me.
Give it to Jim. You've bloody earned it. Yeah. Give it to Arsenal Fan TV. Hey, that's what I say. Right, everybody. On tomorrow's show, I'm back with Vish and Andy. It promises to be an absolute cracker. You would be crackers to miss it. So it's been a pleasure, though, talking to you this Monday. Jim, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Pete, thank you so much.
Would you like a goodbye from the dog?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Hang on, I'll make him howl.
Oh, you have as well.
All right.
Get him to eat a carrot.
All right. Don't overcook it.
Yeah, everybody, right, stay right now. That's the rest of your day sorted.
It'd be like this all day now.
Oh, dear. He's finally gone to live with a pack of dogs, as we all always knew he would.
I'm in the woods.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. We'll see you tomorrow. Ta-ta.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.